The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Joining us this week to place our reads on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf is News Talk's own broadcaster, Claire Byrne. Claire, thanks a million for coming in to us.
You found me in the canteen, did
yes.
you?
Yes. Claire Byrne, she'll be good. She reads a lot. I always think having to pick your favourite book is incredibly difficult. What's your choice?
Yeah, no, look, I find this really... If someone says to me, what was your favourite interview or who's the guest you would most like to have on your radio programme?
Easy.
No.
Hard.
Can't do it. Because I always think, particularly with books, I could be reading my favourite book right now. You know, in a week's time, my viewpoint will change on this. So I found it really hard to pick books. So I pick loads. Is that all right?
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think it kind of depends on where you are in your life at a certain time.
Maybe so. Things will strike you in a different way at different times. That's fair.
In saying that, we're going to push you for a choice.
Yes. So... I have a few choices. I've hedged my bets here, but I'm going to start with Demon Copperhead. Have you read this?
I haven't.
Okay, I mean, that's all right.
I want to, but it's kind of daunting. It's daunting for a couple of reasons. It's a big read, isn't it? And also, the subject matter is kind of heavy, isn't it?
Yeah, so listen, it's loosely based on David Copperfield. So going back to Dickens, right?
It's a really clever device.
It's by Barbara Kingsolver. And it's about a boy who grows up in poverty in rural Virginia. He lives in foster care. His mother is addicted, makes some poor choices. And he then finds solace in art and in football, but he gets injured. And so interwoven into that whole story is the opioid crisis in America. So you can tell where this is going.
Yeah.
Now, it's told through his voice and he is clever and smart and funny. And that's why I don't want the subject matter to put you off reading the book, because it is really entertaining. Like, he is a fascinating character and it is really funny. But I got into this book because I had read Empire of Pain by Patrick Radden Keefe, which is the factual story of the opioid crisis and the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma, which is a brilliant read. So then it made sense for me to get the personal. So how all of that impacted the individual, which is where this book takes you.
Having read both, does the novel ring absolutely true?
100%. Absolutely. I mean, it's like a companion, really, to Patrick Radden Keefe's book, the way the story is told. And you can imagine how, if this stuff was surrounding you and you were living in those circumstances with the lack of opportunity and the lack of choices, that you could very easily fall into this trap. It's just one of those books, I call them thinkers, you know, when you finish it.
Oh, yeah.
And a few days later and a few weeks later and a few months later, it is still there and it resonates with you.
Okay. The main character, I mean, he's likable, obviously.
He's likable to an extent, but you know, with all complicated characters, they're not straightforward, you know? There's issues there.
Anti-hero, more anti-hero than hero?
A little, perhaps, yeah. I mean, I found that this resonated with me. I brought to mind J.D. Vance's book.
Really?
Yeah. There's echoes of it in this story.
Because what, both sort of, well,
because obviously he grew up surrounded by the opioid crisis as well. He grew up with people who were facing the same challenges, lack of housing, lack of education, people who weren't given an opportunity and came up through that. So, like, is J.D. Vance a likable character? Is Demon Copperhead a likable character? These are questions that I found myself asking the whole way through.
Interesting you raise J.D. Vance, because I imagine he would say, and it's hard to get into J.D. Vance's head, he would say that everybody's got a choice and that, you know, you can rise above your circumstances. But I'm guessing this book does not take that view.
That's where I would disagree with J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it is really difficult if you're born into these circumstances anywhere in the world to try, and it takes a really extraordinary person.
By the way, that's what I was thinking he would think. I'm not necessarily saying that.
And that is where my sympathy with his thinking ends, because I think that you need to be an extraordinary person surrounded by extraordinary people or a couple of really good adults in order to escape this. I don't think that it's possible to pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get
very
out of
difficult.
This on your own.
Almost,
really
difficult. Very difficult. Does the book, does it point fingers, or is it more just a personal story in terms of fingers of blame as to why society in this part of America is in such a mess.
Well, look, I mean, I think the finger of blame points very clearly to Purdue Pharma, you know, and it takes you back into Radden Keefe, but also the mis-selling of the American dream, you know, and I think that that adds to people's sense of failure because you are told all you have to be is a hardworking person who can do that pulling up by your bootstraps thing. It's just not fair and it's not true.
Are you a fan of America generally as a country?
I was.
Like everyone of our kind of general, you're a bit younger than me, but everyone of our generation kind of, America was this great kind of...
Absolutely, it was the aspirational place. And that's always where you wanted to go on your big holiday when you could afford it, when you got to that point in your life. I think that has changed a lot and I think the scales have fallen from our eyes. And there's always been huge inequality in America, but never so much as now. And I think we can see that really clearly.
Okay. Right, really interesting choice. Your honourable mention, though, is a completely different world, isn't it?
Yeah, is this the long shoe that we're going to next?
No, I was going to go to Jane Eyre.
Yeah, well, look, we can go to either. They're both sort of very random,
well,
right?
Okay, let's do long shoe.
We do the long shoe. So I picked this because we've been through heavy weather now with the first two there on the list, right?
Yeah.
Or with Demon Copperhead. So The Long Shoe is not like the best book I've ever read. But Bob Mortimer, the author, is just somebody who makes me laugh.
He's just ridiculously funny.
He's got funny bones, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And very
likeable as well.
So likeable. I spend far too much time looking at clips of him on the internet.
Yeah.
Just telling stories. You know, Would I Lie to You?
Well, you took the words out of my mouth. Whenever I love Would I Lie to You. And whenever he appears, I just go, oh, fantastic. Because you're guaranteed. And it's kind of madcap humour, isn't it?
It's mad. Have you heard that story he tells where himself and his friends would run into people's gardens and say, I beg your pardon, we are in your garden. And so he had all of this story around the nicknames for his friends, the fellow with the big head who was called A Sniper's Dream. And of course, everybody on the panel said, this is not true. But it was, because it's Bob Mortimer, it's Bob Mortimer's life.
Yeah.
So The Long Shoe is a story about a man who has a perfectly ordinary life, then something happens, it all falls apart, and he ends up living in this dystopian reality where he's involved with very dangerous people. And the book goes through, I'd say it's about halfway through, and you're thinking, why did he call this The Long Shoe? Like, there isn't a long shoe in it. Until there is.
Wow.
The Long Shoe.
Can you say what The Long Shoe is, or does that give it away?
It becomes an artifact that he spots in a shop and he makes an offer for it because it's like an antique or collector's item.
Right.
And he doesn't get it for that amount of money. He's asked for a lot more. The big gangster guy who he is involved with, he meets him and he says to the main character, I got this long shoe for a tenner. And so what we're left with is, the good guy couldn't get the long shoe for a tenner, but the bad guy wins, and the bad guys always win.
It's a morality tale.
It's a bit of a morality tale. No, it's just a hilarious caper, and I listen to it, the audiobook.
Oh, right, okay.
And it's Bob reading it.
He's reading it. Okay.
You can't beat that.
Oh, that is good.
So I put that in for honourable mention. Can I also mention Yesteryear?
Oh my God, you're really, and then, I know I've got loads.
I'm really messing with your format here because I've got so many. But Yesteryear is one I read recently. It's by Carol Clare Burke. The rights to it have been bought by Anne Hathaway. It is a story about a social media influencer who is a trad wife. So selling this dream of, she's got five kids, she's got a husband, they live on a farm, they produce everything themselves, and she's made a fortune out of selling this online, 5 million followers.
Something tells me though, behind the facade.
Behind the facade. So something happens where her reputation stumbles. And the book then flips to half the story, which is her living in the 1800s on a farm, which sounds very like the farm that she's selling on social media, with a husband who looks like her husband of the present day. But she is living back 100 years ago as a trad wife in very, very difficult circumstances. So the whole way through, you're going, what is this? Is this a fever dream? How has this happened? And then you get close to the end and it all starts to make sense. And I don't want to give too much away.
Is it a social commentary?
Yes, it is. And it is a morality tale. Definitely. There's all that there. But it's just a really interesting read as well, because it shows you what happens to a person when they're trying to represent their real life as not being what it truly is.
Okay.
How that messes with
that
you.
That sounds really
interesting. It's good. No, it's good. And I'm sure it'll be on a screen
yesteryear.
Soon. That's yesteryear. And okay. Then you wanted to mention Jane Eyre.
Honourable mention. Oh, a little known writer.
Listen, I read Jane Eyre first when I was about 12. I remember I was a member of a book club. You know how you used to send away for books?
Yeah.
Tokens and coupons, and I was using my pocket money for it. So I got this beautiful hard copy of Jane Eyre in really small print. I remember struggling to read at the time.
Yeah.
And I still have it.
Do you?
Yeah.
So you grew up in County Leash, I think?
I grew up in Leash, yeah.
So this is a very different world. Were you kind of, did it appeal to 12-year-old Claire?
Well, this is why I read. Like, when I leave News Talk, I will put on an audiobook just to, like, quieten the mind. It's the
last. Do you not listen to The Hard Shoulder?
I do.
Go
I'm not
on,
in the
I'm
car
kidding.
When The
I'm
Hard
kidding.
Shoulder
I'm
is on.
Kidding. Go on.
But then, and then when I go to bed at night, I will read because I just, that's my thing. I just, it helps me chill and relax. And also, I read a lot of books for work, as you do have to do as well. So, Jane Eyre, yes, it's nothing like my life in Leash. I mean, this girl was a governess in the UK for a very rich family. But it's a story that I can read again at any time and still fall in love with it and still learn from it and still find things that, you know, I didn't know. And also when you're about 12, the story about Mr. Rochester and the wife locked up in the attic. Yeah. I mean, it was great, right? It was great. Like nothing I knew about.
Yeah. So when you're like, are you a real one book at a time or do you have about 10 books beside the bed?
No, not 10 books, but I'll always be reading, physically reading a copy of a book and listening to something so that when I'm brushing my teeth, I can have that on as well.
Okay. So your honourable mention is Charlotte Bronte. And the last book you read, then let's get to that.
The last book that I read was by
Elizabeth Strout.
Oh, The Things We Never Say.
Yeah, tell me about this one. I've seen a little bit about it, but I haven't read it.
I really like Elizabeth Strout. I start with her books saying to myself, nothing's going to happen. You know, the Olive Kitteridge books that she wrote. Oh, nothing really happens. And you're going through it going, God, this is grand. Nice, relaxing story about nothing really. And this book is about a man called Artie who is a teacher. Doesn't give his age, but I reckon he's around 60-ish, living a very normal middle-class life in America. And then as the story unfolds, we learn more about Artie and about the remarkable things that have happened to him as he goes through his life. And then you realise that his mental health isn't quite where it should be. His son has been through a very difficult experience. And then there's a bit of a bombshell in the book. But in that Elizabeth Strout way, she handles it in a very low-key fashion. So you can almost imagine going through your life, living it normally, something wild happens to you, has an effect on you, which you try to manage in a way that doesn't, the outside world can't see it. And so she tells a story in a very quiet way, but it's so impactful. And I just think it's lovely.
Wow.
It's a great read.
Okay. So he's just a regular Joe, extraordinary things have happened
guy.
To him.
So listen, I don't think I'm giving too much away if I say he's got one son who's in his late 20s. And he talks about how all of their lives changed when that son was driving a car where his girlfriend was a passenger with him in the car. They had a crash and the girl died.
Okay.
And you learn that it was his son's fault that accident happened. And so they never recovered. And he says a number of times throughout the book that his wife, Evie, was a gentle person before that happened and that she changed. And you can see in their interactions that she changed. I'm going very deep here now, but this is the power of, I think, Elizabeth Strout's writing, that it is all soft and gentle until it's not. And it's those messages that I think that are delivered in a quiet way that really stick with you. So that's definitely a sticky one. That's a thinker. That's going to leave you afterwards turning it over and over.
Yeah,
in your head.
No, it sounds really good. She didn't get her first novel published until she was in her 40s or something, I think.
I think that's great.
Isn't it amazing?
There's hope for us all, Shane.
Yeah, well, I'm never writing a novel. I don't know about you, but I don't have it in me.
Not for the time. I'd love to, but you know, I think when you work in this business, we're so used to writing in short form. If somebody said to me, you know, write however many pages you need to write for it to be called a novel, I would shirk away from that because I'm used to writing. There's a paragraph, an intro, or
maybe
there's
a novella,
article.
Maybe, possibly.
Can you do 800 words? No problem.
Yeah,
but beyond that,
true.
I'd struggle.
Listen, really interesting choices. I want to read them all, I have to say. So well done.
Good.
I really liked them. And it's kind of a recurring theme in all of them.
What
are they
it?
All slightly kind of morality tales?
Maybe so. Maybe so, yeah.
Or maybe that's just coincidence.
Maybe so. Just like a good read,
yeah,
Shane.
Yeah, that's fair enough. That is fair. I'm overthinking it. Claire Byrne, thank you for joining us and
delighted.
Putting your books on the Hard Shoulder bookshelf.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.